So we're going to continue our service with our reading, which is from John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. Thank you. Thanks, Jen.
Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee.
So we're continuing this journey through the book of John, this amazing book. I wonder how your reading of John is going. Remember I asked you to read it all the way through? It's not very long. And maybe read it several times. I hope that's going well. Is it? Yes, good. No? Oh, goodness. But that'd be still a really good thing to do, to read it and to reread it and to read it again. Because every time you read it, you'll see something new. You'll become more familiar with it. And you'll see the patterns. You'll see actually what John's trying to say. You'll see those themes coming out that I mentioned back in the first week, that all those themes that are raised in chapter 1. And it will thrill you as you see this come to life and you see really who Jesus is. Because we want to know the reality of Jesus. We want to really know who he is. And that's what this book is about. And we thought about it like a courtroom trial. That's what it could be seen as. We're in court. And we're trying to determine who is Jesus. And as part of that, John, the writer, brings all these witnesses to the case to say, this is what we saw. This is what we heard. And the whole purpose, of course, as John says at the end of the book, is to bring us to faith. Not just to know who Jesus is, as in an academic kind of a way, but actually to know who Jesus is and find life in his name. So many witnesses come right in the beginning. In chapter 1, there's John the Baptist, of course, saying things like, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in many ways he points to Jesus. And then last week we had the first sign, and we're looking at a series of signs through the book of John. There are seven miraculous signs. It's not that Jesus only did seven. Jesus did many, 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 many. But for John's purpose, he has chosen these seven as a witness in this court case to say who Jesus is. And last week, we thought about the water being changed into wine and how that spoke of a new age, a new kingdom, something new was coming, the one that the prophets pointed to, the one that the people were expecting. The old water of purification, that's run its course. Now the new wine of the gospel had come. The new wine of the Spirit, the new wine of the kingdom of heaven. So he was doing something new. And then that water theme continued, as we haven't looked at it, and we won't be looking at it, but just before this occasion, Jesus goes into Samaria and meets the woman at the well. There's a water theme runs through the Bible, from John baptizing the woman at the well, Jesus offering life-giving water, the water being changed into wine, and over again there's this kind of water theme that's very important. But he meets that woman at the well, changes her life. He spends 2 days in Samaria, and they say after 2 days, these Samaritans that were hated by the Jews, they say, "We no longer believe just because of what you, the woman, said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Jesus did no signs there, no miraculous signs there, yet these people, who were hated by the Jews, God's covenant people, these people could see who Jesus was. They knew that he was the Savior of the world. And so John writes that we might receive life. That was the whole purpose of the gospel, that you would know who Christ is and that through Christ that you would receive life. So in order to receive life, they have to believe in Christ. And in order to believe in Christ, John has chosen these signs. So in chapter 1 it says, in him was life. In him was life. Because this second sign we're going to look at is about in you, life. Chapter 1 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Chapter 3, when he has that dialogue with Nicodemus, that verse that you know really well, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This theme of life over and over again. Now, this book was really written to Jews. That's who John was writing to. So why did he include that story about meeting Samaritans? Why would he do that? Well, that Samaritan interlude kind of highlights the plight of the Jews. For here were a group of people, not God's chosen people, people hated by God's chosen people. But this group, without any miraculous signs, believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world. While the chosen people, the Jews, by and large, rejected Jesus. In a way, almost it was to make the Jews jealous, for these people could see what these ones couldn't. And yet Jesus had come to his own. They were heirs to the promise. Why would you let that promise pass you by? So it highlighted the tragic nature of the Jewish reaction when these Samaritans could see what these chosen ones could not see. So we come to the second sign. And this is a story about new life and life that comes through believing. The word to believe is a really important word in the book of John. It appears 93 times. It's important to believe. 93 times. As I said, the purpose of the gospel is in chapter 20. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So verse 46. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. I want you to enter into that picture and the pain and the desperation of that picture. When he heard that Jesus was there and he had heard about Jesus and he knew what he had done, he came to Jesus and begged him to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was close to death. Here was a father who was desperate. And as you read that story, it was not just a superficial reading. You can enter into it and think about a child of your own. The son is close to death. In desperation, you come to Jesus. Jesus is in Cana. The son's in Capernaum, 18, 20 miles away, uphill to Cana. But in desperation, he comes. And Jesus' reaction at first seems a bit strange, because look what he says in verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Kind of a funny thing to say, isn't it? Here's a man desperate because his son is dying. He says, you people won't believe until you see signs and wonders. That's all you're looking from me. And there was no one at the time who denied that Jesus could do miraculous things. No one. Even the Jews who had rejected him as Messiah knew that he could do miracles. When Nicodemus came to him by night, he said, we all know that no one could do what you do if God were not with him. Obvious. It is just in your face. Jesus healed people. Anyone who came to him, he didn't turn anybody away. Jesus was a miracle worker. So why did Jesus say those things that he said? Unless you people see signs, you'll never believe. And we can imagine it, can't you? People coming to Jesus, desperate, or simply wanting the benefits of what he could do. Because Jesus could feed hungry people, make lame people dance. They wanted all the benefits of what he could bring. But maybe they lacked commitment to him. They wanted all the good stuff, but didn't really want their lives to change all that much. And aren't we exactly the same when we're desperate and we cry out to God, or we say, why does God let this happen? When maybe our commitment to him is negligible, but we cry out to him as a last resort. And often in God's grace, he answers our prayer. But where is our commitment to him? Because that is what he is looking for. Chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all those who received him. Believing that Jesus can do a miracle is a kind of head thing. Coming in desperation is a kind of thing up here. This is my last resort. He could help. He could do this. But what Jesus wants is to move from here, to receive him. The longest distance of anything. To move from head to heart. But he wants us to receive him. Not simply to use him. And we can do that, can't we? Or we can use the church for our benefit. But he wants us to receive him, to be committed to him. But the royal official persisted, verse 49. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Come down. As I say, it was a descending 20 miles down to Capernaum. And if you had to walk it, that's quite a way, isn't it? From here to Dublin. But Jesus had no intention of going. But Jesus says to him, Go. Your son will live. Go. Your son will live. That's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? If you want to be healed, or you want your son healed, you know, you go to a hospital, or the doctor comes to you. That's what we're used to. You go to a hospital to get a scan, to get diagnosed, to get looked at, and to get treated. Or at least you want Jesus to come and put his hand on him and pray for him. But just to go, he had no proof that Jesus would do anything. Go. Your son will live. So what would have gone through that man's head? Again, I was rereading the story of Zechariah. Gabriel, do you remember? The angel came to Zechariah and said to him, you're going to have a baby? Your wife's going to have a baby? And Zechariah said, how do I know this is going to happen? And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. If I say it'll happen, it'll happen. But because you haven't believed, you're not going to be able to talk for a while. Remember that story? And yet this man, when Jesus spoke, he believed and he went. What would we have done? Would we have continued to beg him? Oh Lord, please come. I can't go on my own. You've got to come with me and you've got to come quickly. But this man went. Verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Doesn't use the word believe there, but it does in the original text, that he believed. In fact, the word believe is highlighted in the Greek. Literally it says, believed the man, the word. Believed the man, the word. He believed the word of Jesus. Literally believed the man, the word. He had no proof that what Jesus said was true. He couldn't see it. He wasn't It wasn't faith out of sight. It was simply trusting in the word of Jesus. And as that man headed back to Capernaum, that distance, it was probably a long and lonely journey, wondering what he would find. He believed. But he had yet to see. Remember, his son is dying. Think of the turmoil of what he's going through. But he took Jesus at his word. This is the kind of belief that God is looking from all of us. A belief that is not dependent on what we see, on what we experience. Simply to trust in God's word. Remember the story of Thomas? After the resurrection, Thomas said, I won't believe unless I can see, unless I can put my finger in the marks in his hand and where the spear went in his side. Unless I can do that, I won't believe. And when he did see Jesus, remember what he said? Or what Jesus said? You believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. This is the kind of belief that Jesus is looking for. Or when God spoke to Abraham all those years ago and said, I want you to leave here and go to a place that I'll show you. Where? When? It doesn't matter where or when, just I want you to go. Abraham went, and in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith, the people of faith, Abraham is mentioned there, and Noah is mentioned there, and Moses mentioned there, but it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And what is faith? Verse 1 tells us in chapter 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Believing God's word. No confirmation. Just believing what Jesus says. Do we believe God's word? What does that even mean? How do you know you believe it? For someone like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, I've kept all the commandments, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Jesus said, there's only one thing lacking. I want you to give away everything you have, then come and follow me. And this fine young man who had kept all the commandments went away sad because he was very rich. He was believing in what he had. His security lay here, not in the promises of Jesus. Come and follow me. What can be in our lives? What is in our lives that holds us back from fully believing? We believe, but we hold on to other stuff. We believe, but we don't really let go. We believe, but we have reservations. Jesus wants us to believe, to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Verse 51, while he was still on the way, this is the man, back to Capernaum, his servants met him and with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. At the very time when Jesus spoke, the boy was healed. And the father who believed had this confirmation that Jesus' word could indeed be trusted. That when he spoke, it is done. You don't need to have any reservations. You don't need to have any fear. So when Jesus said to his disciples, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you'll eat and drink and wear. The world worries about these things. And your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. But don't get stressed by it. Trust me. Follow me. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Your heavenly Father looks after them. Are you not much more precious than they? And we say, yeah, Lord, I believe that. I believe that. No, I don't really believe that. No, I do believe that. I do believe that, kind of. And yet Jesus is completely trustworthy. We can put our life, our destination, our eternity in His hands. His word is true. His word is powerful. We can trust Him. We can't judge Him by the word that we give people or the promises people make to us because we let each other down. But Jesus never lets us down. Never lets us down. I was talking to Dawn about this passage a couple of days ago to see if I'd missed anything. And like to run a pastor, you know. And she said, I think it's incredible. She said, when I was reading that, that just at the very moment that Jesus spoke, the boy was healed. And how many stories do you hear? How many Christian biographies do you read of someone in desperation? They need money for something, or they need something to happen, or they need the weather to change, and they pray. And at just the right moment, God answers that prayer. And if you read Christian biographies through the years, that happens over and over and over again. And maybe it's happened to you just at the right time. God answered that prayer. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And yet, how many prayers have we prayed and we haven't seen the answer to? But that doesn't mean that they're not answered. But how many times have we prayed for the persecuted church in Syria or Iran or wherever it might be, and we're not there, we can't see the answer. But you know something? We can trust that if Jesus wants to do something, He'll do it. And that there are more things happen, even in our church, even in our lives, that we realize come as a result of prayer. There's a sign as you drive down to Vincent's Hospital, that church on the left, I don't know what it is, but it talks about coincidence. Coincidence is when God wants to remain anonymous. Things happen when we pray. That's why I keep encouraging us to pray and getting together here to pray. Everything, to pray. Because prayer works. And Jesus said, you don't have because you don't ask. This man, in his desperation, asked Jesus to do something. Now the servants who met the man on the road, they had witnessed the boy's recovery. They had seen him get well. But as far as they were concerned, it could have been the tablets he was taking, or maybe just the fever had left him. For all they knew, it was just part of a natural process. They saw the recovery, but they didn't see the miracle. The Father saw the miracle. He was the one that had heard the word that Jesus had spoken. And now he could see that it had become true. And so the boy was healed. Physical healing is important. That's why Jesus healed many people. In fact, it was a sign that the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no sickness, there is no death. So physical healing is important, but the most important part of this story, the purpose of this story was not to have a boy healed, but to have a family receive eternal life. Isn't that the way it finishes? So he and his household, his whole household, believed. It's the same reaction as the first sign, when the water was turned into wine and the disciples saw, and they saw God's glory and they believed. And here is the second sign where people see it and their lives are transformed by it. You could see the difference. A family were transformed. That royal official put his faith in Jesus. That boy became a Christian. Those servants stepped into the kingdom of heaven. That was the purpose of the story. Physical healing is important, but spiritual healing is by far more important. The eternity, eternal life. And that's what Jesus wants us to have. That is why he came. He came to rescue us. He is the Savior of the world. And so John brings witnesses after witness to see what Jesus can do because of who Jesus is and the impact he makes on our life. Not just for this time. Not a temporal change, but an eternal one. Trust him. He will not let you die.